Jeff Hawkins at Shake Them Ropes. How are you doing?
My word for this hour is stamina, as in I need stamina to watch this many hours of WWE before Tuesday night in a pay-per-view weekend. Good Lord.
Speaking of stamina, have you seen this Avengers movie?
I saw it yesterday.
It's a long one. Yeah, I saw you tweet about it. I went really and saw it tonight. Yeah, I did enjoy it. I cannot believe that they killed off
Robin McCarran.
You know, we had some feedback from our last show.
Okay.
Episode 94. More than one person told me or spoke to others and said that I was a little rude to you, cutting you off, not letting you get picks in, forgetting your existence, really.
Jeff Hawkins.
I'm being trolled. Hold right on,
Jeff,
aren't I?
Jeff, wait. Wait, I have breaking news coming into the news desk here.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarran and Jeff Hawkins.
Daniel, have you ever seen a ghost?
It is Shake Them Ropes episode 265. Rob McCarran here. Jeff Hawkins over there in California. Mm-hmm. Where right now it's probably still daylight, isn't it?
No, it's dark. It's 8. It's about quarter after 8. It's mostly, it's not pitch black, but it's let's call it a late dusk.
Late dusk. I felt like it was late dusk watching Backlash all Sunday night.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. I just wanted to say it started off hot. I like that Miz Rollins match, and then the rest of the show happened.
Agreed. Yeah. And I like the Bayley Ruby Riott match. I thought that was pretty good.
Okay, so everything pre the end of Miz and Seth Rollins. I don't know. It was just, maybe it's just the number of shows we've had, this Greatest Royal Rumble bleeding into Backlash. We have this inner brand thing. We're not seeing everyone still. I think we're in a holding pattern like we talked about last week, where the summer doesn't really matter. Like, Money in the Bank's going to happen. You just throw everyone in there. You don't have storylines going on right now.
That's exactly it. There's your problem. And we're also becoming victims of our expectations. Now, let me start with a real quick aside. The amount of melodrama over this being the worst pay-per-view anyone's ever seen in the history of stuff.
Well, yeah, it's not the worst. It wasn't the worst. It had some good matches on. It was just there. It wasn't bad. Yeah. It was just there.
It was illogical planning on a lot of levels. It wasn't that it was bad. It was just there was illogical stuff all throughout here. And I think if you thought it was the worst thing you've ever seen, I think for the most part that opinion hinges on whether or not you liked the Elias comedy bit. I mean, and could get up to 11:30 at night watching this show. But I just the amount of melodrama there is ridiculous. But onto the story thing that you mentioned, that's the other thing, is they're not building stories. They're doing programs. And then when we get to the pay-per-view, we're expecting, okay, so we forgive them for not giving us logical stories with slow build and subtext and character development and things like that. So we expect them now, okay, we're going to have a great match at the blow off or something heated, and we don't. And then we're getting frustrated by that. So it's like, if we can't get one aspect of wrestling, we want the other aspect. And then when we get neither, we're starting to go like, okay, then what's the point of investing this much time, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, where it's just, it's the old Law and Order thing. My joke was, you know what, if you take one Law and Order script, you cross out the character names, you put the new character names in there, you could film it for the other Law and Order. Because this Money in the Bank build seems fairly rote. You know, you're going to get your contenders and then mixed tags for that, mm-hmm, building up for 6 weeks.
And we're going to get to see which champions don't end up making the show.
Yes.
Cruiserweight Championship. Anyone? But we must say, you know, before we get too far into this week's TV and this pay-per-view, everything was saved the following night when we got the re-rise of Jinder Mahal.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, let's go on to this.
Jinder Mahal is Roman Reigns' opposite for the summer. Can you believe this? It's Roman and Jinder.
Well, hold on.
This will get him cheered. God
we need
damn
to,
it.
We need to take a half a step back because we have to, because the most egregious thing in that backlash pay-per-view for me was the fact that they had Joe kill Roman.
Samoa Joe.
C-I-L-L, kill my landlord.
Kill, wow.
Kill Joe for 25 minutes and put on headlocks.
Yeah.
At 11:20 at night.
It was.
We've been watching for 4 hours.
It was definitely the top of the hour 9 p.m. Raw match for a while there.
And then the end is after this beatdown and grinding, all of a sudden he does a somersault up, spear, full speed, as if it's someone put in another quarter for the video game to get the life bar back up. 1, 2, 3. No struggle. You know, whatever. And then he comes on the next night, and their angle for him is is that the company is screwing him out of his chances over and over again.
Yep.
And in order to do that, in order to get him cheered, because everybody has finally had enough of this crap, Jinder Mahal, who people hate not because he's a hateable heel. They hate him because they can't stand watching him. And because of the cheap heat aspects of the race thing that he did in the course of that Shinsuke Nakamura build. We discussed this on Sean Ross Sapp and I about an hour ago. It would be fine if Roman just went all in on, yeah, I got special privileges from the company and become a heel. But my fear is...
No, there's ways you can make people not only care about him in a positive direction, and if that's, you know, hating him for on-screen activities instead of just the fact that he's the chosen one. There are a lot of different ways you can, I wouldn't say salvage, because it's not like Roman Reigns is dead by any means. There are ways to make him a big deal, and eventually he could be this top babyface guy that people actually do care to watch. Or you can use him as this this incredible heel, and people honestly booing him to make someone else rise up and actually make a new the guy.
Well, you could do that, but what does logic tell you? What does WWE history tell you?
I don't know much about rap, so I don't really know what logic says about this at all.
But you know what? My inkling fear is that, yeah, they're getting this Seth Rollins over naturally, and he's charismatic as hell, and he's doing such a great job that at his apex, they're going to turn him like they did the last time when he had so much goodwill coming off the injury. And they're going to have him turn on Roman. And they're going to try and do that as opposed to, say, having Roman win Money in the Bank and cash in on Seth like he did in San Jose that one year. That's the thought in the back of my mind right now.
You are getting your super Money in the Bank, though.
Yeah.
You are getting your women's Money in the Bank ladder match, men's ladder in the bank or Money in the Bank ladder match. You are going to have 8 superstars in each one. We have 4 already for the men's match. Roman Reigns not in there yet, not in there at this moment. And then we have 2 entrants so far for the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Let's go through this backlash show overall. Let the people know if they didn't watch it, if you haven't watched it yet, who the winners were, as if that matters. Ruby Riott did defeat Bayley. Ruby Riott and the Riott Squad. A chance that one of them wins the women's Money in the Bank match.
Well, the inexplicable thing on both SmackDown and Raw this week was they took their 2 hottest undercard heels and beat them to get to Money in the Bank. Ruby Riott lost on Monday to Ember Moon, which is a fine pick, but why did you have Ruby Riott beat Bayley and beat Sasha and then beat her clean on Monday? That makes no sense to me.
Well, Ember's the bigger deal.
Well, Ember's a big deal, but there are other people you can beat. It's not wins and losses that matter. It's momentum. And if you need a heel, I was thinking they were building Ruby for Nia. I thought that was the point of beating Sasha and Bayley, but it's just
Well, they still could be.
We're going to beat people, and then we're going to try and heat them up when it's time. And they did the same thing with Peyton Royce tonight. Right?
They could still have Ruby be the next one for Nia, because Ruby right now is my favorite to win the ladder match.
She's not in it.
Not yet.
No, but I don't think they're going to recycle people to get it back in.
Roman Reigns is getting in there, bro. Roman Reigns is getting in there, and he just lost. Roman Reigns is going to wrestle Jinder Mahal for the chance to be on that show. There's still, what, 5 Raws left? Maybe even more?
Yeah, until this pay-per-view? Yeah, you'll have like a battle royal.
Who else are you going to put in there?
With all the losers.
Right.
Oh, you'll do what you did last, what was it, the Elimination Chamber, where like all the losers of the qualifiers fight each other?
Yeah.
You'll probably have that type of thing.
There's a chance.
No, you're right.
There is a definite chance, because, I mean, you're not putting Alicia Fox in there. Carmella's got the money in the bank. She's at the champion right now. She's not getting in there. You're going to have Charlotte. You're going to have the Sasha Banks will find a way in, I'm sure.
But you did. Yeah. Oh, God. She wants to be in a Money in the Bank match so bad after last year, because you heard the belly aching from Raw about SmackDown getting that chance last year. And hey, where's our shot at this? And that's probably the reason why they got the Elimination Chamber. But for the match itself, I thought Ruby Riott did quite well here for herself. I think she is one of the unexpected breakouts of this superstar shakeout, when you looked at the rosters and you said, well, I think you actually asked this on a show, who do you think a breakout will be? I don't think anybody would have picked Ruby Riott if you had 3 choices on that. I think she's done a hell of a job here, really getting some presence. I think the Riott squad's a little bit better over on Raw right now. I think there's a weird charisma they as a group, at least her and Sarah Logan have got on their entrances and things like that. Liv ain't there yet, but you know what? She's coming along. But I think Ruby Riott has really done well for herself on this Raw roster.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I expect things from her. I expect her to win this Money in the Bank match. I really do. Kind of be the Mr. Kennedy of the worlds, where you don't, you know, going in, okay, Sasha Banks is in there. You got Charlotte in there. Someone else is going to win. Someone else is going to be the Carmella and win this Money in the Bank match. Seth Rollins defeated The Miz, 20 minutes, Intercontinental Championship match. This was, it seemed to be the hottest match of the night, if you will. I mean, this
is fantastic.
It was a fantastic match as the show went on. I mean, the crowd was getting tired and tired. I think, honestly, towards the end of AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, definitely during the Braun Strowman tag team match, I'm looking at the faces in this crowd, and I'm seeing all of them think to themselves, man, should we really have bought tickets to this?
That was me when I went to Staples for, was it No Mercy?
No Mercy.
Braun Brock match. That was me as the night went on. I was like, I bought tickets to this, and I'm not enjoying myself. And I paid way too much. I could have stayed at home. I think I paid like $200 for a nice seat,
and that's
as opposed to just 10 bucks a month.
Tickets are expensive for these pay-per-views. I don't care if it's the first co-branded pay-per-view in 6 months. I don't care. I mean, I'm seeing the faces in this crowd, and they're all like, you know, yeah, just because WWE came to town doesn't mean we had to go. Could have watched this on the network for just 10 bucks.
Yeah, but that said, Miz is having the best week of anybody right now.
Miz is
that
great.
Match was great, and the match against Jeff Hardy was good.
Miz is fantastic. Miz, one of the guys who's going to be in the Super Money in the Bank match. WWE is coming close to here for this Money in the Bank show. It's in Chicago. And you got NXT TakeOver the night before. There's going to be Raw and SmackDown close by in the area. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, I really want to know if I don't know if I want to go to any of these. I think watching
NXT.
It is perfectly
fine.
You'll
go fine. To NXT. You should go to NXT. Nah.
Well, I mean, what are we gonna see at NXT? Gargano and Ciampa again, probably. NXT Championship match. What's our NXT title direction right now? Where are we at, Mr. NXT expert? What's that? What's Aleister Black? Who's he defending against? Exactly. We don't know yet.
But look, you have to have faith in NXT TakeOvers. They haven't disappointed yet.
They do. They do not disappoint. You're going to have a Ricochet match, probably.
All right, get back to Backlash. So we can
Backlash. Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss. Nia Jax remains your Raw Women's Champion. This actually started off how I thought the WrestleMania match was going to go, where Nia was just going to squash Alexa dead. And then they ended up having what was a pretty solid match, and it went about 11 minutes. Nia Jax retains, Alexa Bliss crying. And broken.
and this stupid Nia promo afterwards.
Well, it was so we're watching this, and we, my wife and I were actually watching this match. We watched the end of Seth Rollins' Miz, and then we watched Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, and then we watched Randy Orton's entrance, and then we turned the show off at this point. Randy Orton's entrance was the main event. But yes, Nia Jax gives the same promo. She cut this promo, the Raw after WrestleMania, right, about bullying?
Yeah.
And then she cuts this promo, just the longer version, and then they do the Be a Star campaign. My wife's like, well, I know we watched that promo twice, but it makes sense if they had to tie their corporate sponsor.
Oh, it felt so manipulative and shoehorned in.
It was super forced.
And that's why the crowd turned on her on this
promo. Well, absolutely. Because she's cutting this promo, and I'm like, I've heard this promo before. She did this exact same promo the last time she beat Alexa Bliss. I'm like, did Be a Star watch the Raw after WrestleMania from their little corporate suite and be like, hey, Vince, have her cut the same promo again in a month, and then let's give you some money, and you promote Be a Star again.
It's like, oh, I'm going to go after this match. I'm going to go to McDonald's, which currently has a deal on a Big Mac deal for $2.99.
I mean, that's not exactly what was happening. That's I believe that's a little inappropriate, Jeff. You're in timeout.
I didn't mean it like that. I meant like shoehorning an advertisement in where it's supposed to be a genuine feeling moment. That's the thing.
Yeah. And by the way, sir, McDonald's is not a sponsor of this show, but you know who is. There was supposed to be an ad read here. We didn't get the copy from the advertising agency, so there is no ad read here, even though we recorded the segue and some after talk about it. So just ignore the next 30 seconds. Can never have enough.
There's a segue.
There's no finish to that. There's no finish to that thought.
Boner pills.
Oh, hey-o. Jeff Hawkins, Rob McCarron, back on Shake Them Ropes.
Oh, you did so well on the segue, too, and you totally fucked that one, the outro.
What? I don't think I screwed that one up at all. If anything, it's better.
Just edited it.
And this has been the series finale of Shake Them Ropes. Good night, everybody. Let's get back to this backlash.
You know what? That should be the coda button after the show. You know, kind of like that credit scene or whatever in Avengers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The credit scene in Avengers. Man, I cannot believe they killed off. Yeah. Let's see. We had Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. Oh, Jeff Hardy, by the way, is still your U.S. champion. Daniel Bryan, Big Cass. Daniel Bryan is still alive.
Yeah, they really they did the whole he taps out real quick so he can then put a beating on to get his heat back. I but they didn't sell it enough on commentary for me to buy it, and it really. You know, and apparently they made him go home early. I don't know why, but they did.
Ending it there, the show still ended at 11:30.
Yeah, no, they were going late. I was thinking it was probably for time. And then
why not just start the show? Start every pay-per-view now at 7. If you know you're going to go that late, just start them at 7. Why do we? I get it. The traditional time is 8:00, but everyone's got the network now. So what if they start watching at 8? They can rewind. They can start from the beginning. It doesn't matter when you started at 7.
Or just, you know, put on a really solid show that's 2.5 hours and get out of there.
Trying to be more realistic, Jeff.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, the other mistake here is that they decided to sell this beating on SmackDown with Daniel Bryan without really showing anybody the effects of Daniel Bryan. They put it over on commentary lightly. Nobody in the crowd knows what's going on, so all they see is Rusev beating Daniel Bryan, and they want to cheer Rusev, and they still do the, we're going to heal early with Aiden English and then bring everybody back to say Rusev Day. Everything about this is weird.
They're teasing the split up of Aiden and Rusev.
Well, they dropped that for a week, as you noticed.
They did?
Well, they did on Backlash during the he wanted to dance, but they didn't show Lana this week. That's what I'm.
Oh yeah. No, it was definitely let's tease it online kind of deal. Tease it on the SmackDown show last week. But yeah, Lana coming back possibly being the dagger, between Aiden English and Rusev. We'll see. We'll see. If you had not heard, oh, by the way, Daniel Bryan getting beat up kind of ruined everyone's night that people were looking forward to that Backlash post show because The Miz and Daniel Bryan were both advertised. We might have seen some fireworks, maybe the start of their summer program between Daniel and Miz. Nope. Daniel Bryan taken out. Miz stole the show again. Miz and Talking Smack is the best pairing in WWE. You must not have watched Talking Smack, did you?
I didn't get to see it.
So
no,
good.
I didn't.
Yeah, Talking Smack.
Is it worth seeking out?
I will say Talking Smack is the only show I've watched in WWE from start to finish, nonstop, without break, in a long time. It was good. It was good.
Pause. I need to pause here. I'm getting a poor network connection. Okay. So I'm going to log out and come back in.
All right. Jeff is getting a porn network connection. So he is signing off for a moment. He is going to leave me and then he will eventually come back. And a good professional broadcaster would probably stop here, wait for Jeff to return, edit back in, be seamless. It's like nothing ever happened. But you are not listening to a professional broadcast, folks. You are listening to Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins vaguely talk about WWE, Backlash, Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT. Next week, 205 Live versus the WWE UK roster. That's right. TV is from England next week, and they're bringing in the UK roster for 205 Live. And you know what? I hope the UK roster wins. And also, Pete Dunne should be on Raw or SmackDown. Why is he still a WWE UK guy? He should be on the shows, like nonstop. This guy had, and granted, I know, it was Raw in England. Hopefully he's on Raw this next week, too. He should have a prime match in Raw. Crowd went nuts for him, but he also delivered in the ring. I don't know what the deal is. These guys get, they get pigeonholed. Oh, hey, he's a cruiserweight. He's a 205 Live guy. We can't do anything else with him. He's a UK guy. We can't do anything else with him. Why the hell not? Why can't Cedric Alexander some nights on Raw? Yes, he's in the cruiserweight division. Why can't he wrestle Finn Balor? Non-title. Wrestle Finn Balor. Maybe eventually even beat one of them. That's how it can go. Jeff, I've been talking to the audience here.
Okay, what'd you say?
About the WWE UK guys being used next week because TV is from England. It's going to be 205 Live versus WWE UK. And why the hell is Pete Dunne still a UK guy? The guy should be on Raw.
Oh, I agree. They're going to make some announcement next week. And I think because this TV show is back in production.
King of the Ring,
the
buddy.
Other network.
WWE UK King of the Ring. It's happening.
Okay. Yeah, they're going to do something to counteract it.
WWE UK King of the Ring.
Okay, so repeat what you were saying before I got so rudely interrupted. Cass and Miz are a great pairing on Talking Smack, so no, I should seek that
the
out.
The Miz is a great pairing with Talking Smack. The Miz on Talking Smack is the best.
Owns that show.
Yeah, he owns
it. That show.
It's his show. All of WWE is really his show. If you hadn't heard, Jeff, Carmella beat Charlotte Flair.
Clean. While doing a bad, she dinged her knee up gimmick, and it really doesn't help Charlotte in any way. Look, I understand the thinking, and I don't mind giving Carmella the clean win, but what they tried to do didn't help Charlotte.
Right now, 50-50, I'm putting 50% Ruby Riott wins, 50% someone else wins, but if I had to pick someone else other than Ruby, it's Charlotte, because this could be the story. It's not the worst thing they could do. Charlotte winning the Money in the Bank, and she's going to challenge Carmella the right way, and they're going to build up to a match, and she'll win her title back, showing Carmella, you know what? You can still do it the correct way.
So she wins the briefcase and then does kind of the Daniel Bryan, I'm challenging you to a match at this pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. It has to be the Daniel Bryan, huh? Remember who made it famous? The Rob Van Dam. Hey, you're going to do it on my terms. My house. I'm giving you a warning. I'm not going to come in, hit you with a belt, and then expect to win a match. I'm going to tell you when it's happening because I have the confidence that I can beat you. And that's going to be your match. That is going to be your match. That could be at SummerSlam, too. Charlotte Flair could win the belt back at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be what? Reign number 13 already?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in there. AJ Styles is still your WWE champion as he defeated Shinsuke Nakamura. Actually, no, it was a no contest. It was a double count out. Double count out in a way. No DQ match, double count out. Jason Ayers decided that both guys' nuts were too heavily damaged to continue. I like the idea now that they're doing with these refs. They go on Twitter and they explain their decisions. They did it with Chad Patton in Greatest Royal Rumble. Even though he was correct, Brock Lesnar was the first person to have 2 feet hit the floor. Roman Reigns' 1 foot hit the floor, obviously. The other foot was caught up in the apron. Brock Lesnar was the rightful winner, but I digress. Jason Ayers went on Twitter after this and explained his decision in ending the AJ Styles Shinsuke Nakamura match because both guys' dicks were too hurt.
Rob, I think this is the time for a man of your expertise.
Yes.
Having been in an infamous match with Joey Ryan and Chuck Taylor, who punched each other in the dick.
Yes.
And then punched you in the balls.
They sure did. They punched me right in the balls.
You need to be the referee for this match so you can get punched in the balls again.
Yeah, I got, I took my fair share of nut shots when I was a referee. Not pleasant. Thankfully, Jason Ayers didn't have to, suffer through that, because that would have sucked. But
watching you get punched in the balls or getting punched in the balls?
No, both, really.
Well, no, it's fun watching you get punched. I've watched that clip at least 500 times.
I bet you have. There's 501 views on YouTube of it. 500 are Jeff Hawkins.
You bet.
Sitting alone in the dark at 3 a.m. with a bottle of lotion nearby.
Yeah, you bet.
Heyo. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley remain your tag team champions, defeating Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Oh, wait, not a tag team title match, because there were no tag team titles on the show, because we had to get Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley a tag team win.
What a waste, because they did nothing for this team. I mean, we thought that Lashley may turn. We'll talk about Lashley on Raw in a bit, but you know what? This is basically a repeat of the Raw matches.
Talk Lashley on Raw right now. What do you think about Bobby Lashley getting a little sit-down interview, a little character depth?
Let me say that I thought this wasn't the best executed thing in the world. I understand people's complaints because they never got a hook on Bobby Lashley. It was just him talking about his sisters, which isn't that. But I liked the effort. I did. I think it's a good idea done the wrong way. I think they need to do more of this. I think they're overthinking it though. They're overthinking, well, what's the hook on him here? You know, as opposed, you know, what can we say for the WWE? What kind of corporate speak can we, you know, shoehorn in here? As opposed to, it comes off contrived more than honest. I think that's the misplay here. But I liked the idea, especially for Bobby Lashley, who was literally said 3 words. I mean, his best promo was the one backstage after he debuted on Raw. And that's what they should be playing into. They should be playing into his personality, but I still think they think he's the same guy from before he left, and he's not.
I'm receiving an urgent message, Jeff.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It is that time of the show. We can't let this pass. We have to do it. It is that time in the show for Shake Them Ropes Theater.
Oh, is it?
It is that time. Shake Them Ropes Theater, episode 264. I have to get into character for this one. This is probably the toughest role I've ever had to play. Okay. Ever had to play. Ow, my pec! And this has been Shake Them Ropes Theater. It was the toughest role to date. Tino Sabatelli last week at the Performance Center.
Oh, tore his pec?
He tore his pec. He's out. He's out for a long time. And that was the time in the show where we had to do it. Now that's over, so we can get back. Roman Reigns! Jeff Hawkins. Is the number one contender, I guess, still somehow?
He's the uncrowned champion. They said that Monday. He's considering himself the uncrowned champion, the champion in absentia, the interim champion while Brock is not on the show from week to week. This is such a miscalculation.
Oh my God. I'm getting an urgent message from the producer. We have a second Shake Them Ropes Theater this week. Jeff, have you heard about this?
I'm usually the one who produces it, so no.
Oh, Shake Them Ropes Theater. This is Kurt Angle in the ring with Braun Strowman from Monday Night Raw. Braun Strowman, you're fantastic. You won the greatest Royal Rumble. You won the World Tag Team titles at WrestleMania. You're the most dominant superstar there is. You beat a former world champion in Kevin Owens last night on the pay-per-view. You are fantastic. And because you keep winning so many matches, I will maybe put you in a ladder match with eight other guys instead of giving you your rightful title shot because Roman Reigns keeps losing. It was Kurt Angle.
You weren't nearly as out of breath and sweaty.
Ow, my pec! God, Tino's still hurt. It's Tino Sabatelli. Get out of here. Get out of here. My pec! Yeah, Braun Strowman. Roman Reigns keeps getting title shots. Shinsuke Nakamura keeps getting title shots. Braun Strowman is just winning matches here and there in the number one sign this year of why really they don't care about wins and losses. Because Braun Strowman is winning everything. And he's begging and pleading to get a qualifying match to be one of eight guys to randomly climb a ladder at the right time and retrieve a briefcase to maybe use it for a world title shot. The guy should be given a world title shot.
What's more preposterous, that or Asuka saying, I need to reach the briefcase so I can challenge Carmella to a title match?
Right.
I'm like, Asuka, you'd come out and challenge Carmella and kill her. You don't need the briefcase.
This Chris Jericho has the right idea. The guy just attacks whoever the champion is randomly on a show after a big match. And boom, gets a title shot. Braun Strowman, just go kill Brock Lesnar at home one day.
There you go.
Like, don't kill him dead because you have to get the title match, but, you know, hurt him a little bit. And then they're forced to give you a title shot because you attack the dude randomly. Chris Jericho knows all the tricks. I don't know why these guys aren't calling up Chris. Be like, hey, Chris, what can I do to get a title match? Oh, well, buddy, you just got to go attack somebody. That's what Chris Jericho would do. And it's worked out for him.
And you are the Peyton Royce of this show today because you are doing impressions back and forth.
Peyton Royce. Okay.
All over.
God, I mean, that's that's high praise. But I am no Peyton Royce. I am no Peyton Royce. And you know who isn't Peyton Royce? Roman Reigns! Defeated Samoa Joe on the show. That was your main event of the program. Honestly, the big main event on the show was Seth Rollins' The Miz. I mean, it was all downhill from there. That was Backlash 2018. Jeff, do you think Backlash happens in 2019?
You mean as a pay-per-view?
As a pay-per-view. We have fewer pay-per-views. We could do Battleground again. We can do...
no, Backlash will always be the pay-per-view after Mania because they like the name.
Always. I mean, gosh, how many years were we without a Backlash? Let's go back to the old Wikipedia machine here. We had a Backlash 2017. It happened May 21st, so it was a couple pay-per-views after WrestleMania. Had Shinsuke Nakamura on the cover. Good for him. We had Backlash 2016. Dean Ambrose is on the cover, so I'm just going to go ahead and skip that one. And the previous Backlash was 2009 with Randy Orton on the cover, so I'm going to leave this image up and stare at it for the rest of the show.
I think we may have it. We may not. I don't know. Yeah. This thing is, I mean, it's better than calling it Hell in a Cell or something and then, you know, needing the stipulation of just the regular pay-per-views last week.
The next pay-per-view is Money in the Bank. This one is happening in, I believe, late June. It's June 17th, so the second half of June. After that, we have Extreme Rules, and then we have SummerSlam. So we are probably going to get something with AJ and Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't think Shinsuke Nakamura will be in Money in the Bank. So we're going to get something with them. And if Shinsuke Nakamura wins, of course, you go back to AJ and Shinsuke at Extreme Rules for the blow off. Possibly. Maybe they go all the way to SummerSlam. God, I hope not. And maybe AJ Styles beats Shinsuke Nakamura at Money in the Bank. And then you do something else for Extreme Rules with AJ and Shinsuke in a blow up. Or maybe AJ does something else altogether. I don't know. But they're probably getting two more pay-per-views out of this, at least possibly three. What can they do to make this interesting throughout the summer for you, if that's indeed what they do?
Well, only Shinsuke could have pulled off that promo tonight where he's making nuts jokes. I tend to think it's going to play into the Money in the Bank show. I think the whatever the last match is going to be after Money in the Bank, be it at SummerSlam or somewhere else, I think someone's getting a nut shot and then Miz is cashing in to get the belt. I think that's how they're going to get it off of AJ. And then that's how they build the Miz and Daniel Bryan for a program. That's my thinking right now. And that'll make it interesting somewhat. But I think they're just going to go standard here because I don't think – I mean, the stipulation to get to no DQ or the build to that made no sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You've done no DQ. You have to heighten from there. I mean, my only thinking would be Hell in a Cell between these two. Which would be interesting, but I don't know if that's the match you want to see out of these two. You want to see a good, long, technical, New Japan-style match, and I don't think you're ever going to get it. So I think there's going to be some acrimony there. To answer your question in a roundabout way, I have no idea how you keep this fresh and interesting, because this is, unless you do just the nonstop ball shot match. That's the only thing I can think of. Only move that's allowed, ball shots.
Ball shots are us. It could be. That's your Extreme Rules stipulation, in fact. All ball shots are legal.
We renamed the pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire.
Nothing but ball shots, actually. Like, it's whoever's balls last. Last ball standing. Last balls drooping?
No.
Okay. Just trying to think of a name for the match. What else from WWE TV this week stood out to you? What if anything, are you like really excited to see a follow-up to next week? Like, was there anything from Raw or SmackDown where like, oh man, I really want to see what happens next with this?
No, there's not. That's part of the problem, is that there's no investment in story here. The Mandy Rose introduction tonight was awkward, I thought. Did you see that?
So this is my philosophy. Much like Triple H, I don't work Tuesdays.
Okay. They did a promo with the group known as Absolution, formerly known as Absolution, where they said, "We're staying together. You're not our mom." Which is cool, but then they did a new entrance for Mandy Rose where she kind of she's doing the whole, the runway walk she does with one foot in front of the other, but she stops like after two steps, and it looks just awkward and painful and disjointed. Painful. And then she came in and she beat Becky Lynch in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
And you're just like, they're doing a losing gimmick for Becky Lynch again, which unless they're going to turn her heel and make her rip arms off like Ronda, which they're not going to do because Ronda's on the roster. They're not going to do that. So I don't see what Becky's the person you beat, but it's not interesting or compelling. It's going to be 50-50, I think. They kept Joe and Cass off the show, which was interesting in some ways. But there's nothing, I mean, there's no heat in any of these feuds, so I can't get emotionally involved. So it's just kind of like, well, you know what? I'm waiting for product, and I'm waiting for it to be good. I thought, Drew and Dolph are being presented. Why not just present them as a team? Why do we have to do his entrance music, then Dolph's entrance music, which don't go together at all? And then they come out and they don't seem like they should be a team together, even though their attitudes are aligned. They should, give them the matching gear and give them a real team name.
I don't know about the matching gear. I think Drew McIntyre needs to stand out because he's the big star. In this
I would
one.
Agree.
I
know, but,
hopefully
okay,
he'll be the big
about,
star in this
okay,
one.
Okay, I'll temper mine a bit. You don't need the matching gear.
Right.
But they need to be a united front rather than just two singles guys coming out.
Sure. Yeah. Andrade Almas coming in next week. Smart too, I believe, to put him in front of the European audience because they'll probably react really well to him, I would imagine. So Andrade Almas
is
coming.
Will his debut be a qualifier?
Oh. Interesting. You know what? I would keep him out of the Money in the Bank situation right now.
Okay.
Make him special, build him up a little bit, figure out what you want to do storyline wise for the long term. But yeah, you're only going to have, I don't know if they're going to split it up four on Raw, four on SmackDown, but you only have eight guys in this men's Money in the Bank match. And I don't really know if Andrade fits in with that right now. And honestly, I'd rather him not try to fit in and fail with yeah. this short build. Let him do his own thing. Maybe come in and who can you beat? Who can you beat right now on the SmackDown side? Come in and beat all the names I want to say, like Curt Hawkins and Mike Kanellis are on the other show, so I can't say them. But have him come in and beat somebody.
Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, there you go. Ty Dillinger, Ron Killings, one of them. Does Ron Killings even wrestle anymore? What does he do? Does he just show up backstage at TV and just hang out every Monday and Tuesday?
Yes.
Is that his job now? Good for him.
Backstage skits with the New Day.
Yeah.
No. And you know what? Come to think of it, I wouldn't want him in this match with Braun and Rusev and big guys like that, because that doesn't play to his strengths necessarily. I think eight people in a Money in the Bank match is going to be a car crash, to be honest.
They've done it before. It is a lot of people. It is pretty ridiculous at times. Ridiculous, just craziness. But we'll see how it pulls off on this one. We have Rusev in that match, so good for Rusev. Money in the Bank, it's still about 4 weeks away. I mean, plenty of time for other things to happen. 6 weeks away? June 17th is six mm-hmm. weeks. This is insanity. This is what we get now with Crow-branded shows. We're back to long stretches in between shows. Instead of having a pay-per-view every 2 weeks, we're going to have one every six. Oh, there we are. I don't know if that's better or worse yet. Maybe by the time Money in the Bank comes around, we'll be excited for the pay-per-view because it's been a couple of weeks since we saw one.
Now, here's what we're going to do as wrestling fans. We're going to say, no, it's better because then they space it out and they have more time to tell the story that they want to tell. But we know that they're not going to tell the story. We're going to fool ourselves into this. Where they're going to put guys back and forth. They're going to trade wins and losses going into the match, have a blow off, whatever, and then move on to the next thing. That's my problem. And I'm trying to stay up for that, but I'm really, it's the, we're talking about this on the Fightful show. Kazarian decided to address, like, he misses when wrestling, people didn't know and people would cheer as opposed to whatever. And I'm like, look, it's not that the crowd hates wrestling or they hate the boys. They hate the script. It's like watching your favorite actors do a bad movie script right now. And you really want it to be good. But it's just they're not putting in the effort in terms of building these feuds to make us get invested to want to see the blow off. They're giving us good matches sometimes, but they're giving us product. And, that's not, it fills time, but it doesn't fill the soul.
I just can't believe they killed off